I'm not the only preacher in this room. Every single one of you have a mouth just like I do. You have a mouth to share the message that Jesus has called you to do, no matter where that is. It's in this room or across the county or in your job or at the cash register at Walmart. You still have the same message. It's the same message that John the Baptist gave us. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. And the reason our churches are dying today is because we're not being the messenger. We've lost sight of the Great Commission.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. In today's episode, guest speaker Brian Miller delivered his sermon titled, "It's Time to Be the Voice of One Crying in the Wilderness." Brian preached from the book of Matthew chapter 3. We hope you'll enjoy his special message, and we hope you'll join us again next week for another powerful sermon.
Good morning. You guys awake out there? I was thrilled to give the opportunity again to preach the Word of God. Every time that God calls me somewhere, I have to be willing to go. This was an awesome time that God could... Wow. Hi. That's my wife out there, April, and my son there, Wesley, and my daughter, Maggie. So I didn't know they were going to make it, and they made it, so that's awesome. I'm glad you guys all came today. It's just a blessing to be able to get the opportunity to preach the Word of God to His people, no matter where that is and what He calls me to do. I'm willing to follow Him, so that's why I'm here today. I really don't know David. I met him up at the Baptist Association meeting here a while back, a couple of months ago or so. And when he called me on the phone this week, after my pastor had asked me if I would come up here, he called me on the phone, and he didn't really know me either. And I remembered him up there, and I reminded him, yeah, we were up there, and he's like, oh yeah, now I remember. So we actually do have a really small connection. It's small, but it's awesome that he has called me to do that. My pastor, Daniel, had got with me last week and asked me to come up here. So anytime God calls, we are to answer, right? That's right. So I'm glad you guys are all here today. We're going to talk a little bit about John the Baptist. When I began to study and pray, I was searching out what God would want me to say, of course, and He led me back to the beginning of the gospel. And so I think that never gets old. That's something that speaks to our hearts. We have two messages today. One is for the lost, and one is for the church. So no matter who you are out there, God is speaking to you today. It's not my words, it's His. So let's start with a word of prayer and get our hearts in the right place. So let's pray. Father God, we come to You this morning. You are worthy. You are worthy for us to listen, for us to speak Your Word. And Lord, as we begin to dive into Your Word this morning, we just ask that You would open hearts and open minds, that You would be speaking to each one of us in Your way, and Lord, that Your words would be my words, and that You would speak Your words through me. Lord, that You would encourage our hearts this morning, that You would fill us up with the Spirit. And Lord, I pray this covering over this church this morning, Lord, that all of protection would cover it, that the hedges of protection would build up around it, and that Satan would not be allowed here, but only the Holy Spirit would be alive and well in each one of us and in this place. In the name of Jesus Christ, we lift You on high. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody, please turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. So he said, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing of their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now that was John the Baptist that was on the scene. Let me take you back a little bit to the time and place. Now John the Baptist had been in the wilderness likely for maybe a long time. I'm not exactly sure, but he had come out of the wilderness. Obviously he was living there for a long period of time. He said he comes out with camel's fur as clothing, eating locust and honey. So likely he was surviving and living on whatever little bit he could gather up from the woods and from the wilderness. Why was he out there? That's the first question that you have to ask yourself. Why was he out there in the wilderness eating nothing but locusts? Searching God's will. He was out there all by himself, likely for a long time, searching out God's will. And you see that over and over again. You see Jesus up on the mountain alone. You see others throughout the Bible talking about how they got alone with God in the wilderness, by themselves, searching out God's will. So it begins with prayer. It begins on our knees, humbled before the Lord God, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, humbled in prayer, searching out His will, finding out what God wants you to do. You know, applying that to our lives today, that means that if we're going to have a revival in our hearts, it starts with us. It starts on our knees in front of the living God, because He still lives today. Amen? Does He still live today? He does. He still lives today, so we can approach Him. He told us that the veil was ripped. We have the ability to approach the living God and ask Him what He wants us to do. And that's exactly what John the Baptist was doing at that very moment. See, he was called prophetically, clear back from Isaiah, to be the voice of one called, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He was called by God, just the same God that you and I know and love. Because if we truly believe that Jesus was on the earth, if we truly believe that John the Baptist was called by God, then you too are called, every single one of you. If we truly believe that, the first question is, do you believe that? Because if you do, He speaks to you, just like He spoke to John the Baptist. He speaks to each one of you in the very same way, the same still small voice, the same time that when at the end of this service and at the end of next week's service, you're going to be on your knees and you're going to be listening, I hope. And if you are, the same voice talks to you as it talked to John the Baptist. The very same one. You know, it's recorded over and over in history throughout the Bible that people heard from God. They actually heard from God. Do you think that was a likely a shouting voice. Well, it could have been, but most of the time, it was that same voice that you hear. The same one. It's no different now than it was then. It's the same God then as it is today. Nothing has changed when it comes to God. He's the same yesterday as He is today. That's right. Now, He was being called and He was told to prepare the way of the Lord. Make His way straight. What does that really mean? Make His paths straight. Make it flat. Make it comfortable for Him to come in. Because He was preparing His people. That was what John the Baptist was here for. He was preparing the people to hear the Word of God directly from Jesus, and then He was going to point to the real King. He was there to point to Jesus. Now, John had all kinds of followers. He had many that followed him. It says throughout the Word that he had his own followers, and guess what John could have done? He could have called them all to himself and went and took him down this path away from God. He had the ability to do that. Many followed him, but instead, he knew what his calling was, and he pointed them to Jesus. That's the same thing that we're supposed to be doing, is pointing people to Jesus. Not to ourselves, not to the pride that we may have in our own life, but to the Jesus Christ. It's the same today. It's the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. We have the same calling on our lives to prepare the way of the Lord. Now, I'm telling you that if you look around this world today, some things happen lately in this world, in this nation, that have changed the course of time. This nation likely will never be the same. It continues to go down the path of evil. I'm just saying. Now the question is whether we follow that path or if we follow the path of Jesus, which we're being called to prepare the way for Him. It's the same today. It's the same today as the day of John the Baptist. It's the same today as the day of Noah. You see, He told us to prepare the way for Jesus just like that. And I guarantee you, the times are getting closer. The times are getting closer. John thought that it was going to be judgment on the earth then. How about 2,000 years later? Have we lost sight of what we're called to do? We're still here to prepare the way of Jesus Christ, to come onto the scene, just like John the Baptist was told to do back 2,000 years ago. We're still here to call the same calling. We're still here to prepare the way of Jesus Christ. He's coming on the scene. I'm telling you, He's coming on the scene any moment, any day. We know that everything is in line. Everything is in line prophetically. There's only a few little tiny steps left before He comes to this earth. He destroys heaven and earth. He builds a new kingdom. Are we going to be in it? Every single one of us has the same choice of those people that were following John the Baptist that day. And everybody in this room, as well as everybody in this community, have a choice of living or dying, turning from sin and going another direction, or going down the same old path. And that's for us to listen to. We have to listen to that. John was yelling, screaming in the wilderness, and people could hear him from miles away. And then he comes onto the scene and draws people to Jesus. He was baptizing people number on number on number on number, thousands, but pointed them to Jesus. And guess who was the main one he baptized? The King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He says, "Jesus, I'm not worthy to baptize you." And Jesus thinking, "Yeah, you're right, but you're called to do it." See, we're called to do something too. I'm not the only preacher in this room. Every single one of you have a mouth just like I do. You have a mouth to share the message that Jesus has called you to do, no matter where that is. It's in this room or across the county or in your job or at the cash register at Walmart, you still have the same message. It's the same message that John the Baptist gave us. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. That hasn't changed. That hasn't changed. And the reason our churches are dying today is because we're not being the messenger. We've lost sight of the Great Commission. The Great Commission, I think probably most of us could repeat it right now. Go ye therefore into every nation, making disciples. We have lost sight of that because I don't know why. We've lost sight and our churches are beginning to die. While all around us there are more and more lost everywhere we go. Covered in tattoos, yeah. Piercings all over the place. That's not what defines the person, but we begin to create this wall between us and the lost, where we cannot reach it. We become Pharisees and Sadducees of the earth rather than Spirit-filled Christians of heaven. And we build this giant wall we can't get through because of all that stuff that we've created that we think we can't reach into those people's lives because they're covered in something that we don't like. The Greeks were covered with the same thing. And what did Paul say? Go out there and speak in their language. Because that's the only way you're going to draw the people in. I don't mean we change the gospel. I mean we share the gospel. The same gospel that John the Baptist preached back then, and he baptized people in the same way. Now things changed drastically when Jesus came on the scene. But John had a mission. He had a desire to seek out what God called him to do and then share it. It began in the wilderness in prayer. It's the same place that it begins for each one of us. You see, I have nothing to lose this morning because I can walk right out these doors the same way I came in. But each one of you, I hope, have a message that is beginning to hear and resonate in you. Because every time a person comes up here and preaches, they should be preaching like they have nothing to lose. Because the only thing they have to lose are lost souls. Lost souls. Same for each one of you. You see, Jesus is coming soon. These are the days of Elijah. These are the days of Noah. These are the days of John the Baptist. He was preaching about Jesus' return 2,000 years ago. And we should be preaching about Jesus' return today because we're a whole lot closer. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited that He's coming back, but I'd like to take as many people with me as possible. Because if we truly love the people around us like God has called us to do, whether it's our love, our friends, our family, or the guy that we work next to that we hate his guts, our human side of us can't stand to be working next to Him. But God has still called us to love Him just the same. And if we truly, truly love Him, we realize that that heart can be changed just like our heart was changed. If we truly love Him, we're going to speak the truth and love into His life. Right there next to Him at work. If that's on the factory floor, whatever it is, we have the same opportunity to speak the truth in love directly to Him. God changes the heart, but He's got to have a mouthpiece. The Spirit of God is alive and well in each one of us, and if it overflows out of our mouths, it spreads across this nation. You see, the lives of these people that are in this world today aren't any different than the Greeks of yesterday. It's the very same thing. They were filled with the same junk that you and me are. But if the disciples would have been isolationists and only went into the tabernacle, where would the message have been? It would have died in one generation. Now we've got a generation right today that are lost across this nation, and we aren't reaching them. They're lost and dying just like they were 2,000 years ago, but we've got to get out and begin to spread that word far and wide, because the time is drawing near. The gospel is still the same. Repent, believe, have faith, and the Spirit of God enters us. It's the same gospel. Don't change that, but spread it. Spread it far and wide. Times are drawing near. We jumped right over in, let's just see an example. If we jump right over into Matthew 24:7, remember Jesus is still speaking. He speaks today as he did yesterday. He speaks right here in the end of Matthew, right before he leaves this place. In Matthew 24:7, he says, "For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are but the beginning of birth pains." You know what's interesting about the times and places today that might be different than years ago? You see, we've always had wars. We've always had wars. We've always had rumors of wars. We've had feasts. We've had famine. We've had droughts. We've had pestilence. We've had floods. There's something different about today. For one, all it takes is one click and you see every famine, every flood, every war, all within a few short sentences. You see, the other day I went, just interesting enough, I went over to one of the news sites that I look at once in a while, and I looked at that, and it was, this one was just weather. All it had was weather on it. And it was pretty eye-opening if you realize what God is doing with weather all across the land right now. There were floods on almost every side of the earth. There were floods and earthquakes and pestilence every side of the earth. Within a short time, I could read about all of that that was happening right now. You see, that's part of what's going on. God showed the prophets of old what was happening today. The personal prophet had no idea what he would see today, but he saw it through the eyes of Jesus, through the eyes of God, and he wrote it down on paper. We just know now that it's reality. Reality is happening today. The words of God are being reported through our newscasts on a daily basis, and we never thought possible. You see, only a generation ago, and I could say most of you could see that out there would say that all that you had then was one newscast a day. And you got a little bit out of that, but look at what has changed just in the last 30 years. Never mind 50 or 60. God is on the scene. Things are changing. Things are changing quickly. And Jesus is coming back. So what is God calling you to do? He's calling each one of us to a revival. You see, the only way there's going to be revival in this land or across this world is to start in our own hearts. And that's the only way we're going to protect ourselves, is by getting on our knees and finding what the will of God is and then doing it. That's what John the Baptist did, and that's what he's calling us to do today, is to start a revival. You see, revival doesn't happen in 1 week. Revival happens in our heart, and it begins to spread far and wide, just not only through this church, but through this community, through many communities around here, Clinton, Windsor, far and wide, but it starts here. Then it comes out of the mouth. Because as the Holy Spirit fills us up, we can't help but spread it. And if revival begins to start in the minds and the hearts of people on this land, it will spread far and wide, just like the Great Commission. He's called us to make disciples of man. He's called us to make disciples, just like He called them. Now, sometimes you're going to feel all alone, just like John the Baptist did. Alone, crying in the wilderness. But the calling is prepare the way of the Lord. It doesn't matter if you're all by yourself or not. It doesn't matter if people are throwing stones at you. We will be persecuted. He told us that. We should not be surprised. But God still calls you to the same mission. He said in that same set of verses that God can make these stones into children of Abraham. The stones that can be made to children of Abraham are still in these communities, covered in tattoos, piercings. They're just human people, just like you and me, searching for something to fill the inside of them. So they put junk in it. Whatever that junk is, if it's drugs or alcohol, or just the fact that they can't stop lying to their mom. It's still the same stuff. They've got idols that they want to worship because they have no place to fill it with God. God isn't filling them. They've got to fill it with something else. There's a God-shaped vacuum inside of each one of us. It's a matter of what is filling us up. But it's your job as the church, as people, as individuals, to speak that truth into them. And then they begin to understand it. They begin to hear the Spirit finally speaking to them. And that's when repentance happens. You see, the same old junk that each one of us are guilty of, they're guilty of the same stuff. They're no different than us. I'd venture to say that some of us have sinned just maybe today, maybe yesterday, maybe last week. You still have the same stuff that you battle with day in and day out that they do. But we've built this giant wall around us, the church, where we can't get out of it and touch the lives of those people anymore. If we can't touch the lives of those people, they will not come to Christ. So the third part of that is revival. Now, there's likely not going to be a revival that fills this land because there's still evil in this land and our country is under judgment by God because of it. But there will be a remnant. And that remnant will begin because of a revival that begins in our hearts. There was a great awakening, there was a great reformation. Now let's have revival of the 21st century. Amen? It starts with each one of us, but it's got to grow. We've got to have a strong remnant because sometime persecution is coming and we have to be strong in the Lord when that comes. Each one of us, and we've got to spread that word far and wide to build it up, to build and encourage the hearts and man all across this land and across this church. Because if we don't, we walk out those doors and we fall down immediately. And we'll be covered in darts by the evil one, and we won't be able to spread his word anymore because we're pushed down. We have to be encouraged and built up. And that's what this little building is for. You know, many will come to know him, but it takes us encouraging each other with the fruits of the Spirit, with the gifts of the Spirit, encouraging each other to go out and spread the commission. And we can draw people in with us. That is great because the Word of God will be spoken here. I know David well enough, just in the few minutes that I've met him, that the Word of God speaks through him like fire. Because John the Baptist said that when Jesus comes, He won't baptize with water. That's right. He baptizes with fire. His winnowing fork is at hand, and He cuts off those that are not producing fruit and throws them into the fire. He is the final judge. He's the one that judges our hearts. You know, it's real easy for all of us to judge each other in our own hearts. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't determine those that need to hear the Word of God and who shouldn't. But God judges the heart. He knows what's inside of each one of us. And He's ready to whack off that stuff that doesn't produce fruit. You know, He's called us to produce fruit. And if we produce fruit, the next step is that fruit is planted as seed. The only way to spread that Word of God is your fruit to get produced. Each one of you to produce fruit. And that fruit gets planted as seed in people's lives. Whether that's reading the Word of God to your children or grandchildren, or speaking the truth in love to that coworker, you are planting seed. The only way that a seed grows is if it's planted first and then fertilized. It takes encouragement. It's not just seed planting, but encouragement and growth that you can share with people around you. But He said, if you are not producing fruit, you're not a Christ follower. I hate to tell you that, but it's true. You have to be producing fruit to be a Christ follower. He said, the ones that are not producing fruit, I'm going to whack off and throw into the fire. He separates the wheat from the chaff. He burns the chaff, all of those little weedy pieces, the stalks. He takes in the wheat. That's His. So the truth of the matter is, it's time to listen. It's time to be on our knees and listen. Because you know, prayer is a two-way street. Sometimes we get on our knees and we just pray. Heal this guy. Do this for me. I need more money. I've been guilty of all those things. And then we get done and it's like, hey man, we're done. We're going home. Then there's a moment there that you should be letting God to speak to you. That's that time in the wilderness that we were talking about. That time when you are totally silent and all you can do is hear God. That's the two-way street. So if you are truly on your knees, praying to God and then listening for God to do something great with you, you're a tool. You are listening for that. God will speak to you. And then you will be in God's will. The safest place on this earth is in God's will. When you're in God's will, things great happen. Sometimes you're blessed, but more often people around you are blessed. That's right. People around you. And that's how the Word of God gets spread across this nation. Is the revival in your heart, each one of you, and then a blessing as you speak it out of your mouth. Because you see, this morning, I told you at the beginning I had two messages. One of them is for each one of you that has not accepted Jesus as His Savior. Today is the day. He says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. He says, repent and turn from your sin. Repent, what does that even mean? You know, sometimes we even use a lot of God words in these churches, and some of us don't even know what they mean anymore. Repentance means I'm going down this road right here, And this road is full of junk. You know, I watched porn all day yesterday, all night, last night. Or I lied and I keep on lying to my parents over and over again. Or I gossip in the church all the time, even though I'm there every week. I really don't have a heart for God. I just sit there and warm the seats. Whatever it may be, you're going down this road, and repentance says, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going this direction. Away from all that junk. Doesn't mean we don't battle with it, but I'm going to keep pushing it back instead of living in it. That's what repentance is. The living God is for each one of you that have been going down that road. You can turn all of that stuff away and go this direction. The kingdom of God is near. It's right over there. It's right over there. I can see it coming. Are you going to follow Jesus into that kingdom of God? Are you going to be thrown into the threshing floor soon? That's the first message. The second message is for each one of us saints. It's time to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. You might be the only one crying, but cry. Cry out loud, preach His Word far and wide. I'm not the only preacher here. It's filled with preachers. It doesn't mean we have to be standing in front of a church. You can be a preacher wherever you go. That's what He's called us to do. And it starts on our knees in prayer. And when we hear the true calling of God and we answer it, revival begins right here. Revival begins right here. So as we have our song leader or pianist or however you guys want to do things, come on up. What I really want you to do is begin to examine your own heart, because God already sees it. God already knows your heart. You see, if God already knows your heart, then it's all open. He already sees what's in there. He sees what's inside of us in the deepest, darkest caverns. In the back room, in the closet. He knows what's in your heart. And He knows it because it's what comes out of your mouth during the week. So now I ask that you examine your own heart. And if you truly examine your own heart, and if it's in the wrong place, this morning is the time to get that right. And if you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, now is the time to get it right. He's coming. He's coming soon. And believe me, you don't want to be on the wrong side of things. Because God, He gave us free will. He gave us free choice to be eternally separated from Him. That's not a God. That God doesn't want us to be separated from Him, but He gave us the choice to be, which you don't want to be. It's a bad place. So as we sing this last song, I really want you to just close your eyes for a minute. Everybody stand for a minute. Stand for this. But as we sing this song, I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. Actually, before we sing the song, I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I'm just going to pray over you. And I want you to be in prayer yourself, examining your heart, seeing where God wants you to be. and then listening for that call and following Him. See, our altars are always open. As far as I'm concerned, you can come up here and pray anytime. I know Pastor David's not here today, but that doesn't mean that God's not here today. He's still alive and well right here in this place. So please just close your eyes and let me pray over you for a minute. Father God, I come to you again today, Lord, as we begin to examine our own hearts. Lord, I just pray that you would begin to speak to each one this morning, speaking truth into their lives, that they would hear you, that they would hear your voice, and when they hear your voice, that they would act on it. And if that means that they just lay everything out for you, then praise your name. You see, these altars, I know, Lord, are a place that we can lay all that stuff down, and we don't have to go back to it anymore. It's just a symbol of sacrifice. You know, 5,000 years ago, people were sacrificing on this altar. I know that. The King of Kings, Jesus Christ, was laid on that altar once and for all. And His blood covered it for each one of us. So this morning, I just pray you speak that truth into these people's lives, each one of them, that they would go out of this place completely changed in the way that you call it. I'm just going to be quiet for just a second or two. I want you to listen for God's call. It's just going to be total silence.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, then you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe that you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in a local church, and to share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.